Here's a stat that just might catch you up. Wyandotte County, Kansas is just one of two counties in the nation that does not have an ethnic majority. One of two in the nation. Whites make up about 43% of the county, Hispanics 27%, Blacks 25%. In other words, Wyandotte County is the proverbial ethnic melting pot in a way that hardly any other locale is. So how's that working? This week, NPR and member stations such as KCUR are examining an issue at the heart of this year's election. That's the state of mind of the American voter. One aspect of that is our changing national identity. Today, in conjunction with that idea, we take a new look at Wyandotte County. With us are four residents. Pastor Adrian Robertson of the church is Destiny Bible Fellowship Community Church is with us here. Pastor, nice to have you.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Carol Finney's here. Carol, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Marvin Robinson. Marvin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Kelly Wright's also here. Kelly, thanks for making the run down the hill here. I appreciate
sure.
it. Well, Pastor Robertson, start us off here. How long have you lived in Wyandotte County, and tell us your race and where you live?
I am African-American, and I'm proud to say I've been a dot all my life, and born and raised right there in the northeast end of Wyandotte County, right off of Quindaro and Parkwood, and we now reside right off of 20th and Quindaro, and our church is located right there at 16th and Quindaro.
And it's the Church is Destiny Bible Fellowship Community Church.
DBFCC, yes, sir.
Maybe that's a better way to say
yes,
it.
Yes, sir. Acronyms work, yes, sir.
Carol, how about you?
I've lived in Wyandotte County for 38 years, so
wow.
I'm an adopted dot, I think, and in our neighborhood where we are now for about 23 years.
You all call yourselves dots. I think that's an internal thing. I'm not sure people outside Wyandotte refer to you guys that way very often.
It started at Varsity Sports. They came up with a logo that said DOT, you know, for Wyandotte Countyans. And a lot of people started buying the apparel, and it just kind of spread. It's been around for quite a while.
Marvin Robinson, how about you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a native of Wyandotte County, Navy veteran. This is such a humbling moment to have the opportunity to be here today for the interesting topic. Almost 29 years of persistent focus on the Quindaro Ruins Underground Railroad exercise.
Good for you.
And so
29 years.
Almost 20. In May, will be 29 years of trying to get the site his historic designation and interpretation and job creation and race relations sensitivity training facility.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good for you. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Kelly Wright, how about you? How long have you been in Wyandotte County?
Not quite 10 years.
Yeah.
So I'm
a
transplant. Yes.
Just
yes.
10 years. You're brand new.
Exactly.
What do you know about
I'm
Wyandotte County after a decade?
Yeah. Not a lot. But
what part of this county you live in?
I live in Rosedale.
Okay.
And actually I live...
Southeastern Wyandotte. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And actually quite close to the state line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Robertson, start us off here a little bit, and let's talk a little bit more about this county. You know, the county does not have an ethnic majority. How surprising is that to you? I mean, did you know that before today?
Yes, sir.
You did?
Yes, sir. That's been the ongoing conversation, even when the mayor was having his community conversations.
Mm-hmm.
That was one highlighted point when we were talking about how they're going to spend the upcoming bond receipts from the Legends. So, but primarily, you know, if you lived in Wyandotte County, even for some time, I mean, it's always been a very diverse area. Even when we moved into Parkwood back in the 60s, we were the second of two African-American families that moved into that area. And then you would see, you know, the migration of more African-Americans. And so what we're seeing now is, even in our context, is a large number of Hispanics and Latinos who are doing some of the same thing.
So what's the consequence of this in your life? I mean, how does this affect you day in and day out?
I mean, you have to go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially from the church perspective, you know, you just can't be one-dimensional. You've got a large contingency of people in our context. So you have to reach out. You have to get to know people, build relationships, build collaborations. And so that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we're focused on.
And your congregation then is mixed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Roughly by how much?
It's still primarily African-American, but we're real excited that one of our deacons is Hispanic, Jose Ramirez, and we've entered partnerships with La Vida Abundante Church. And so We're mixing our worship services together, and we're working in the community together. And so we're just working on building the unity of the community through the church.
Yeah. Well, Carol Finney, this notion that Wyandotte County stands as just one of two counties in the country without an ethnic majority, did you know that walking in the door?
I did not know that before I came in. Now that you say it, it certainly makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because ever since my husband and I got married in 78 and moved to Wyandotte County mostly because the rent was cheaper. But when we decided to start a family, we consciously made the decision to stay in the county because it was ethnically diverse.
Why was that so appealing to you?
I wanted my kids to grow up in a place that was like the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, my husband was raised in Johnson County, and he did not want to live in Johnson County. He didn't want to go there to raise a family because it was not diverse at all in the area where he lived. So
he wanted to mix it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. I think it's a great place to raise kids. And sometimes people look at me like, oh, Wyandotte County, are you serious? I'm like, yes, I'm very serious.
Is that changing, though, the last few years? I mean, with the economic renaissance in Western Wyandotte, you get a sense that the county's image has begun to evolve, and maybe evolve rather rapidly here.
Yes, it has, very rapidly, because when we were first married, Indian Springs was huge going concern, and we stayed through all of those years of decline and decline and decline, and then to watch it come back again has been wonderful. But I think the urban core and some of the midtown areas have kind of gotten forgotten in that redevelopment.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. So Carol, for you then, the consequences of living in a county that is so ethnically diverse is what?
That's what the world is like, and you learn to get along with people who look different, you know, people who may have different opinions, different backgrounds, because there are still some areas in Wyandotte County that are a little bit rural, you know, mm-hmm. when you get out to the west and especially up towards the river, and then you have the urban core, then you have, it's great.
But when you say you learn to get along, is it tough? Is that hard work, or is it?
It wasn't hard work for me, but I think it's hard work for some people.
Yeah.
If you have never been exposed to any kind of diversity, mm-hmm. you know, you're a little bit leery about delving into someone else's culture or ethnicity.
Yeah. Marvin Robinson, how about you? This idea that you're living in this county that's so ethnically diverse, what do you make of it?
Having heard the other two guests on the show, my experience and network is completely opposite. And then also
in what
also
sense?
Also function with efforts that we don't always have to agree,
mm-hmm.
but at least acknowledge the attempt to communicate, and whether people accept or reject, then that's a whole nother story. It is absolute hell. From their perspectives, you know, with all due respect, just sounded great. But we have the highest poverty rate in the metropolitan area mm-hmm. in the state of Kansas. Wyandotte County is unique that we have the highest rate of infant mortality rate among African-American populations across the entire United States, according to the CDC.
Right.
Governor Sam Brownback allocated $15,000 to new people to move into the area, and offered, and I'm a, you know, a supporter of Governor Brownback, but they offered nothing for the people to stay in the community.
I mean, he offered an incentive for people to move into
into the community, which, because we have so many vacant properties.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to build the population up, so they gave a grant to people. If you live in the area or used to live in the area, you can't get anything of it. But if you're new to the area and have never had an address in the area, then you can get $15,000.
Wow.
These are the kind of hardships that, when I was talking to the producer yesterday, the structural violence,
mm-hmm.
Not just the shooting on the street, but the whole dynamic of utilities being extremely high. And then the unemployment, the underserved, underrepresented, overburdened categories that the federal government recognizes our area. I guess we all look out of the windows with different lenses compared to what I heard a little earlier, because it is really a...
So for you, the diversity has not been a positive thing. It's been an indicator of hardship, if I'm hearing you right.
Yes, and in talking with some of the older people and other people, they reminded me of, there was a workshop at the Plaza Library about 2 years ago about the Negro Removal Plan. Mm-hmm. They talked about urban renewal through the 50s and the 60s and 70s.
Both sides
model
of the
cities
line.
All over the country. Mm-hmm. And then in our area, if you look at the Susan Greenbaum work, the African American community of Kansas City, Kansas, black people, African Americans lived all along the Missouri River in the Fairfax Industrial District, and it was called Juniper because they couldn't say the dialect of Jupiter. They wanted to get as far away from enslavement as possible after the Civil War was resolved. And they lived in that whole bottom area, and they were promised if they moved out, they would provide jobs. Yeah. So there's been this consistent effort. And I was trying to prepare to come over here, and I was like, well, this looks like we've been removed for about since the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, and even into the 21st century to displace us. And so.
Well, let me come back to some of these points.
Thank you.
That's very good. Kelly Wright, what's your experience been in very diverse Wyandotte County?
Well, I've really appreciated it. I grew up in Johnson County, and much like, I'm sorry, I forgot your first name.
Carol.
Carol's experience. I did not experience diversity at all. Grew up in a very homogenous community.
I grew up in Des Moines, Iowa.
My mom's from Des Moines.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. But talk about a white place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Iowa is incredibly not diverse.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and neither was the community I grew up in. I moved overseas for about 14 years and ended up moving back to Kansas City and just happened to move into Wyandotte County. And one of the things that I noticed was how diverse my neighborhood is. And I truly do value that. I agree with Carol that knowing people from various walks of life expands your worldview.
Yeah.
It makes you a better world citizen. And it really equips you to navigate various cultures, to find points of consensus and collaboration. However, I want to recognize what this gentleman that spoke right before me was saying.
Marvin.
Marvin, yeah. That diversity does not equal equality. Just because you have a diverse community does not necessarily mean that people experience equality within that community or society. I think it's a step in the right direction. It's a step toward, building collaborations and opening people's eyes to various realities. But it certainly doesn't mean that all things are equal.
Pastor Robertson, this notion that diversity does not equal equality, what's your perspective on that? And what's the struggle been like for so many members of your congregation?
I think you, even Brother Robertson and even like the young lady just said, hit the nail on the head. It is extremely hard to have been raised in a county where, like Miss Finney said, you look out west and you see the legends, you see all this growth. And within our context, for example, they closed Walmart. Okay, Walmart was moved out to the legends. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the main retail spot since Indian Springs was gone. And so now you can ride out there during the winter and see people sitting at the bus stop waiting on the bus because they had to take the bus from the northeast area out to that area.
There are a few places, it seems to me, where the split in the economic split is so clear as Wyandotte County. The east side still struggling, the west side obviously booming, so much attention.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you're talking about here.
Yes, sir. It's and what's crazy about it is that, for example, we live in a food desert. We've had four administrations promising a fresh produce grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the conversations...
The mayor's had some success on that front in some parts of the county, but you're saying there's still deserts remaining.
Yeah, in my neighborhood, we had a local little grocery store close to our house, and there was a fire. Mm-hmm. And the owners did not want to bring it up to code after the fire, so we were without a grocery store, too, for quite a few years. And then finally, someone came in and got it up and running again. I think it's very important to have local places where you can shop.
Well, even going back to Mr. Robertson's point, It's crazy because at 6:35, there's within a 5-mile radius, there's two dialysis centers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when you think about that, we talk about Wyandotte County being the worst, healthiest county in the state, right next door to the strongest county in the state, Johnson County, and then have a KU Med Center sit right there. You kind of look at that as a people, and it's like, well, you see gentrification, you see this, and for real, you see what's happening in Flint, and the question is, okay, how? When could that happen? Mm-hmm. I mean, but those kinds of conversations, you know, people are wondering, where is the equality, even with the conversations that are going on? So that was a great point.
So the big economic divide between West and East really weighs on you and how you view everything, Pastor.
It weighs on everybody down on that end.
Yeah.
It just does. It's a simple fact that people want to be treated like people. Mm-hmm. But when it's so in your face, you know, you can be on 18th and Quindaro, and there's a former bank there. Quindaro used to be a thriving economic locale for that area. And so now to see those empty buildings and what I call like spiritual tumbleweeds, you know, you wonder, where is the help in trying to get some of that economic support back down on the Northeast end?
There's one thing that I would kind of like to add that relates to this. I was looking at statistics for elections. Our last mayoral election, there was not even a 7% turnout, and 30% in the statewide election. And I think when Barack Obama was elected, it was like 60%, 70% in both of those years.
Well, there's some political scientists in the state of Kansas who will tell you that the reason Governor Brownback was reelected in 2014 was because the turnout in Wyandotte was so low that if the turnout had been higher, Democrat Paul Davis might well have won the election.
I would venture to guess that's probably the case, because I was involved for a number of years as the secretary of the county party and worked a lot on voter registration and voter turnout. And the conclusion that I came to is that we have done our students in our schools a real disservice by not teaching them to be good citizens.
Yeah.
I remember I had to take civics, and there are kids now who could not tell you a single person that is an elected official for them. And they couldn't even tell you that there are 9 justices on the Supreme Court. So we've missed the ball somewhere, and I don't know how you get back to that voter education and get people to realize that your one vote does matter. It really does matter.
Yeah. Kelly, again, you're from the southeast part of the county, and I'm wondering about this divide that Pastor Robertson was talking about between east and west and Wyandotte. How noticeable is that for you? How does that affect you and your neighbors as you go about your daily lives here?
Right. The neighborhood I live in is a working class neighborhood, but we're so close to Roland Park and to Kansas City, Missouri, to Westport. We have a lot of infrastructure around us. So, you know, grocery shopping isn't a problem. Drug stores are available. You know, location wise, where I live, you know, I've got everything I need around me, and my neighbors do too.
Argentine, we're talking about.
No, this is in Rosedale.
In Rosedale, I'm sorry, yeah.
One of the things that was just a sticking point for me in my neighborhood was I live in one of the few walkable communities in the metro area. You know, I can walk to restaurants, I can walk to bars, I can walk to stores, you know, so it's wonderful in that way. That said, if I were an older person, or if I were a person with a disability and had mobility issues, it may be a different story.
Yeah.
Now, I do have diversity in my neighborhood along age as well. And I recently had a neighbor who actually left because of her health condition. But she was an older woman in her late 80s, and she was really rather prisoner of her house. You know, she so her mobility made our community a very different place for her.
Yeah. Marvin, I'm wondering about you and your neighbors and this economic disparity you see within Wyandotte. What's the frustration level about that from your standpoint and from those your friends and neighbors around you?
Say that again.
just the economic disparity in Wyandotte between Eastern Wyandotte and Western Wyandotte. Western Wyandotte doing so well economically, the eastern side where you live struggling more. How frustrating is that?
Okay. That's a really complicated question. But the...
Just how frustrating is it?
There's a book by a lady, Professor Beryl Sater, who's tenured at Rutgers University. She did a book on family properties, race, real estate, and the exploitation of Black urban America, which is a must-read, one of the most important 10 books in the United States for African Americans to have access to. The reason I say that is it used to be available in the library, and they took it from the library and put it in the reference section. And they put it in the reference section of the Wyandotte West Library. And if you're on the bus, that's almost an hour and a half ride. The mere fact that we're able to open our eyes and wake up and have another opportunity and thank the God that we know that we didn't die overnight from the bullets or the police wanting to pull their pistol because you were walking in the middle of the street where there was no sidewalk. And because I had the opportunity to attend a Department of Justice workshop and had the people's business cards with their phone numbers, I was able to text them that by morning they may come and take me out. So if I survive the bullets from the people in the community and I survive the people who have these driver's licenses that almost run over pedestrians on a daily basis, then I still could get thrown into homelessness because of any one of the other structural violent activities that having just a veil of either you're a human being or you'll be cast into the garbage like a piece of trash coming out of the window. The campaign that they're talking about now, the 2016 presidential election, they keep saying they're interested in the middle class vote, and that's $250,000. And I think I made a special note, $250,000 for a person in our area would be like a lottery winner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so there's 88 to 96 million United States American citizens who are severely and chronically unemployed that the Department of Labor doesn't even count us anymore.
We're going to talk in our second half today about just what extent the presidential candidates this year are talking to people like you, Marvin, and what you make of all that. In fact, on that note, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation about Wyandotte County. And a slight correction to the demographic information we began the show with here today. The bottom line is there are two counties in the country with no ethnic majority, but we are one of two counties in the country where three different ethnic groups are each over 25% of the population. That's what makes Wyandotte County unique here. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. This hour, we're talking about Wyandotte County, one of the most ethically diverse counties in the country. We're visiting with Pastor Adrian Robertson of the Church's Destiny Bible Fellowship Community Church, Carol Finney, Marvin Robinson, and Kelly Wright, all residents, longtime residents of Wyandotte County. You know, Pastor Robertson, I'm just wondering to what extent do you hear your voices being represented among the current crop of presidential candidates from either party? are you hearing your concerns being talked about and represented in some way? I'll take that as a no.
They may be talked about, but that's just all it is. It's just
talk.
Yeah, because my concern is when you know whether you're looking at Fox, CNN, MSNBC, or whoever. You know, when I hear about these polls, you know, I'm in my 50s. I've never been polled.
Mm-hmm.
I ask people in our congregation, who are they? Have you ever been polled? No. And then, you know, you do your research and you see that they're, you know, they're looking for a certain segment of people to hedge a certain mindset to go in a certain
direction.
I've never
been polled either. So
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I, you know, whether it's Republican or Democrat, neither. No, not at all.
How does that feel to you? Here we are about to go to through another national election, and you're not hearing yourself being talked about.
I mean, this is probably, for me, the worst election because you've got such two crazy polarizing groups that are, I think, that are so focused on special interests that when the special interest should be on the people, they've gotten away from that.
Two crazy polarized groups you're talking about, what?
Democrat and Republican. I try to stay away from politics because I personally can't stand politics.
Yeah.
So I do my best to do my civic duty, and we encourage our people to, you know, go to the polls and vote. You know, we encourage people to get involved with a registration drive to get people, like you said, they got to get out and vote. We encourage people to don't vote on name recognition if they haven't done anything.
Right.
You know, have a voice and get involved with civic government and civil government and get involved in the community. But as on the national platform, nah.
No, in Wyandotte County, at least for local elections, it's kind of difficult to be informed. We no longer have a newspaper.
Right.
You have to make an effort if you want to find out about the candidates and go someplace to meet them and all that stuff. So, I can understand what you're saying about none of the parties addressing your needs, but here, my little plug. I would be happy to call myself a Democratic Socialist. I have no problem with that term because... Mm-hmm. We are socialist, you know, the meme that was going around, here come the socialist, you know, snowplow moves, you know, because the government provides for everyone what we cannot provide for ourselves,
right.
Police, fire, you know, snow removal, roads, the infrastructure that we have, and I see nothing wrong with that, and Bernie Sanders is the guy, and I don't think he could possibly get it done, but I'm an idealist enough to want him to be able to get it done. Free education for colleges, you know, public universities,
right.
And, you know, single-payer health care. I am all about that, you know?
Yeah. I support those things, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, are you hearing, are your needs being addressed at the national level in this presidential campaign?
Oh, goodness. I don't know that they are. Nationally, I think the middle class in this country, which has been our economic backbone for so long, is really being squeezed and dwindling, and that's the class, you know, that I grew up in, and most of my friends and family are from, and I do see economic struggle. I see it in my community. Most folks in my community work, but they work very hard to keep
keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I agree with Carol. On principle, I'm very aligned with Bernie Sanders. I'm big on education and access to health care. I think that having good public education is a hallmark of this country, or used to be, we need that emphasis again. I think good education and access to health care could go a long way to addressing some of the disparities and inequities in our society. However, I'm a pretty practical person as well. I don't know how electable Bernie Sanders is.
Mm-hmm.
And
the interesting thing is that living in Wyandotte County, it doesn't make any difference who we vote for.
Yeah. That's true. I was going to say, for Wyandotte County, to me, the elections that are more important are the local elections.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I vote for my council person. I vote for my state reps and state senators.
Yeah. And when you have 7% of the residents of the county choosing the government for everyone, that's just wrong.
93%, you're saying, sitting it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Why
in the
is
last
that?
Local election, I have no idea. Like
it's
I said, education maybe, apathy, they think it doesn't matter. But our local elections is where your vote really does matter. It doesn't matter in the state of Kansas, you know.
Marvin Robinson, I'm going to get your thoughts on the national election here. I also want to invite our listeners to chime in here. Those of you who live in Wyandotte County, you call yourselves Dots. What are your thoughts here? Do you feel part of the national conversation? Are the presidential candidates, as we currently see them, are they addressing the concerns that you face day in and day out? 816-235-2888. Is our phone number here and our email address, UpToDate@KCUR.org, or tweet us @KCUR UpToDate. Marvin Robinson, how much hope are you pinning on the 2016 presidential election to improve your plight and those of your neighbors?
You have such great
complex questions.
It simple. Yes or no? You much hope here or not?
Well, some of the people that I'm in network with, they said that because of the reality that I don't have the right or authority to encourage anybody to participate in elections anymore,
mm-hmm.
because we've been more than thrown under the bus as a people, as a race, as a demographic, and so they don't want to be bothered. They've retired from voting.
Right.
They have absolutely no hope. And one of my older advisors, he's now passed, he said that, and when I was trying to figure out what do we do, how are we going about it wrong with trying to preserve the Quindaryl site and job creation, entrepreneurship development, race mm-hmm. relations sensitivity, and he said, what you call it is you call it the black bastard syndrome. When you're black and poor and don't have any money and no clout and people don't give a damn about you, no one cares. So it's sort of like a war to try to emerge every day to be relevant. But I wanted
and
to
politically in Kansas, you feel you're being completely overlooked, it sounds like.
Oh, more than that.
Carol's nodding her head, too.
As a veteran, the VA is allowed to deny veterans benefits after our congresspeople. Even though I'm a Democrat precinct committee man, I vote for many of the statewide and congressional offices for Republicans because I like to vote for the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And they agree with me on I'm issue-oriented because of having worked for the Pennsylvania Public Interest Coalition as opposed to party. I could care less about party,
mm-hmm.
the issue. And my congresspeople will support the communication we send to them, but then the VA, because of the rule writers in Congress, they take and dump and make everything so hard. I was on the phone with a vet last night. He's been trying to get Vietnam-era benefits from Agent Orange since 1976.
Wow.
We got 22 vets per day that are killing themselves, which is 7,920 per year. If you multiply that in 10 years, that's quite an embarrassment and demoralizing reality.
Not getting the help you want.
And then the people in Silicon Valley, the youth in Palo Alto, are committing suicide, according to the front page article in The Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
The misery index is so horrific across the country until you think that 2016 would be like, come on, but people are sort of like...
So the people's faith in politics and politics' ability to change lives for the better, you're saying, has gone out the window.
Dr. Mindy Lovejoy, I believe that's her name, she has a body of research on root shock,
mm-hmm.
the killing, the violence. People know that there is something occurring underneath and all around them. They don't know what to do, and they provide justice right there. And so we don't even ever get to that. People want to build a crime lab over on 27th and Prospect and more prisons and think that solves the crime instead of getting to the heart of the human being. And so I'll stop right there.
Pastor Robertson, can you relate to what Marvin's saying there?
There are some statistics that show that since the signing of the Civil Rights Bill, there's been almost $4 billion put into the urban core.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for real, you know, where is it? So we have taken the attitude that, you know, programs by themselves haven't worked. He's exactly right. You know, their programs don't go to the heart of an issue. I've yet to see, I work at Kansas Leadership Center. We talk about adaptive leadership. You know, you can't fix an adaptive issue with a technical fix.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
I'm not sure I'm tracking exactly what that means.
Well, okay, an adaptive issue is like poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you write a bill. That's technical. You pour money into it. That's technical.
That doesn't work, you're saying.
It hasn't worked. Equality. You write a bill. Mm-hmm. You pour money into it. That's a technical fix.
So what do you want to see happen in Wyandotte to begin to address some of these concerns?
Four things. We're going to have to diagnose things deeper. We're going to have to find ways to energize people better. We're going to have to find ways to manage ourselves better. And then finally, we're going to have to find ways to mobilize people to do hard work. And in that case, we're going to have to bring up tough issues within our context that's going to raise the heat. Because right now, what we see is work avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
We got people, like you said, apathy, the whole nine. But in order for anything to change or to make progress, you got to raise the heat. So we're going to have to talk about issues that we don't want to talk about.
Issues like what?
We're going to have to say, okay, how much are we a part of the mess?
Mm-hmm.
You see, how have we contributed to it? issues like, instead of waiting on
government,
when we've got more than enough qualified people in the county, why aren't we coming together? Mm-hmm. Let's look at it from a faith perspective, a church perspective, where you've got churches on every other corner. And not to get preachy, but if the book tells us we have all this power, why does our community look like this? So it's raising the heat.
You're putting it on yourselves.
Yes.
Not
yes.
waiting for government to come bail
yes,
you out.
Yes. Yes, sir. And so that's our mindset. And like my brother said, you know, there's what we call a remnant of people that are saying, you know what, the old stuff hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to see churches unified. We want to see the community unified. Mm-hmm. We want to see Quindaro back to where it used to be. We want to see the entire county. Like Ms. Finney said, she wants to be able to have a place where she gets older. You know, I'm comfortable living out the rest of my days here. And that's going to take voices around the table, not the same old, because those same old voices, this is where we are right now.
You know, Carol, this notion of mobilizing people in Wyandotte County, getting people energized to deal with some of these oppressive issues that confront so many residents there, why is that so difficult?
I don't know, why is it difficult? I think nationally it's reflected in the big support that Bernie Sanders has had because he wants social change. He wants to change the institution.
You think there's an election today for president just within Wyandotte County? Would Bernie Sanders win it?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
People are just afraid of him, his self-labeling as a socialist.
As a socialist.
And everybody hears that, even though they don't really understand what socialism is
who
or democratic socialism. I would think probably Hillary. Mm-hmm. That would be my guess.
You're nodding your head too, Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. I think if an election were had right now, it probably would be Hillary Clinton.
Well, what about this notion, though? It happened here, Kelly, this idea of what the pastor just said about yeah. mobilizing from within and moving in that direction. I'm wondering why it's so tough.
Well, my opinion is that there are probably many reasons for it. But one issue that I've noticed that certainly has changed in my lifetime is the sense of neighboring and community that I grew up with. We knew all of our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
We knew them all on a first name basis. Our neighbors would do things together. They would have parties and picnics. And I have to say, even though I love my neighborhood and I have lots of wonderful neighbors, I probably know less than half of my neighbors.
Why is the diversity of your neighborhood a factor in that, or are the times
so.
Changing with mobile phones and all that stuff?
I think a couple things. I think one thing is that I just thinking of myself, I am so busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am rarely at home. I work very long hours. I have volunteer responsibilities.
As you were saying before, so many of your neighbors just need to keep working hard to keep up
yes.
with the rent and the mortgage and everything else. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think in part it's our lifestyle that we're
the
just
one thing,
taxed.
Two things that I think contributed the most to it and when that started to change, and what you're saying is very true, but central air conditioning and
true.
Garage door openers.
True.
You know, people yeah. just go right into the garage, and we used to talk across the fence with
your
neighbors.
So, Pastor, the challenge facing you under these circumstances only gets more difficult.
Well, we don't have very many garage door openers. We've got...
Not in your neighborhood, eh? Yeah.
You know, when the large percentage of the people in our context are renters and not owners.
Yeah.
You know, that's a conversation, mm-hmm. you know, but... At the end of the day, it has to start somewhere. You
it
know,
does.
It has, it, and sometimes commitment can be just going to a livable neighborhoods meeting,
mm-hmm.
getting information. Because and we struggle with that. Because I've seen Brother Marvin out for years. And I know he's what we call grinding. He mm-hmm. and a lot, they are grinding.
Working at different causes and issues.
But there's this we call it the crab mentality. You know, if you're not rolling with this group, then we can't support you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a
mm-hmm.
system within a system.
Mm-hmm.
So see, that's if we go about raising the heat. We got to deal with those systems within the system where we have to say, okay, now, how do we help? So how do we just come together? Get two or three. It doesn't take a lot of people to make progress on mm-hmm. an issue, but that's just it. People want a quick fix. We didn't get here overnight. So it's going to take one step at a time by committed people who want to try to make a change.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking this morning about the ethnic diversity of Wyandotte County and how that sort of has affected people who live there. How does that change the landscape? Our number 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. We just have a few minutes left, Carol. I wanted to get back to this notion of how the ethnic diversity of the county impacts each of you. How have your views on race, religion changed because of the changing nature of your neighborhood, of your workplace? How's it changed your life?
I don't know that it's changed my life a whole lot. I mean, when I first moved to Wyandotte County from Des Moines, Iowa, where, you know, there were no black kids in my elementary school and one in my junior high school, and coming to Wyandotte County was kind of a shock for me. I don't know how else to say it, but as I have lived here, I am accustomed to, and I taught at Christ the King School, music. And the makeup of that school, percentage-wise, very interestingly reflected the makeup of the county as far as percentages of, you know, Asians and Hispanics and blacks and whites. And it was wonderful. I mean, those kids, wow. I mean, they don't even see race. Mm-hmm. They really, at least in my experience, you know.
The kids don't see race. You know, Marvin, I'm wondering if the adults see race, if there are tensions that we should be aware of here.
Oh, absolutely.
Like what?
The sensation of seeing that I've heard the word community and neighborhood thrown around so much this morning, and it is often done so. And the small networks that I'm involved with, we have concluded that there is no neighborhood, that we no longer have a community. We were stripped of having community when they kept closing down all of our black businesses, our black schools. I'm hearing about Iowa and Johnson County and all that. I wasn't around white people till I went to Emporia State University, and then around all the different ethnic groups till I joined the Navy or enlisted in the Navy. I didn't know nothing about what it was like to be around white people. And then we have the Federal Reserve Bank, who has been trying to help us with Econ Avenue. We have a meeting the second Tuesday of every month trying to rebuild the northeast area of Kansas City, Kansas. And then Flint, Michigan, which is a hot topic.
Right.
It could be our twin community, our twin zone for the horrificness of toxic waste and poisons and chemicals in the environment right here in Wyandotte County
and
Jackson County, Missouri.
Right in your backyard.
Yeah. And so you can go EJ screen through the EPA Environmental Justice Unit. We try to at least get, and I know the time is one that I cannot thank you all enough for this opportunity. This is a highlight of, I couldn't even sleep trying to get ready to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. But you're saying the issues are heavy duty right in your backyard.
The structural violence, the people look up structural violence. Then we have, there's a federal law called deprivation of rights. Our people before me said, if we do civil rights, you do affirmative action. If you do this, you get the Martin Luther King holiday, it'll give us more respect and all. Everything we were told to do and tried to do, Section 3 from HUD, it was supposed to include us in jobs. Community Reinvestment Act, it was supposed to include the indigenous population. Everything that they get money for and roll it through over our head and through the community to bring in, even the Legends, they used the northeast area as a way to collateral the funding to build up out west. And then we, you know, can't and don't even have a grocery store, which causes, they keep putting up the Family Dollar and Dollar General, with all due respect. Those are sodium factories, which will kill your kidney. And we don't even have a grocery store in 2016, and it's ridiculous.
So the bottom line here.
But even with that, what's crazy is we talk about the race concern. If you go on 18th Street, which used to be a truck stop, there's now a Sunfresh.
Yes. Beautiful. And Mayor Holland talks about that often. It could be twice as big, he says.
Right?
Yeah.
And some of the conversations I'm hearing is, well, we've been here how long? And a demographic is moving into the community. Nothing against our Latino brothers, but that mall popped up out of nowhere, and it's very, very viable.
Which mall are you talking about?
It's the Sunfresh, Sunfresh Strip right there, 18th and I-70.
Right.
So the question is, once you get past Central, you go to Central South, you can see, quote-unquote, community.
Excuse me, I just had to throw this out. If it was not for harvesters sending in the food— we would be.
It's tough.
Pastor, your point is what? There's a Sunfresh on 18th Street, but you move to other parts of the community and there's nothing still.
It literally changes in your rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is that dramatic. You can just come north on 18th Street and it will stop you. It'll be like, wait a minute, what has happened?
You're talking about poverty.
Poverty. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so right there. And so this goes back to the issue of electing qualified people who are serious about making change in a demographic versus just sitting in a seat for 2 to 4 years.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of quick comments. Michael, a business owner in Waco, called to say there needs to be more resources for small business owners to get up and running. Brenda wrote to say thank you to the panel for this very thoughtful conversation. I want to thank all of you as well. Pastor Adrian Robertson of the Church's Destiny Bible Fellowship Community Church, Carol Finney, Marvin Robinson, Kelly Wright. Great conversation.
Thank you
all for taking the time.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.